Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick. Today, I am joined by...
Joe.
And our special guest viewer...
Ryan.
And welcome to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an episode-by-episode discussion podcast about space ghosts coast to coast. Today, we watched Season 1, Episode 8, entitled Bat Mantis. So before we get into the show, thank you for joining us, Ryan.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
For the listeners, can you give us a little background on your history with the space ghost?
I was waiting for you to say coast to coast.
No, just in general, space ghost, any Hanna-Barbera property maybe, like if you got some Johnny Quest, if you got the Smurfs, if you got the Snorks?
So I did not mess around with, any Snorks. I think I watched Fraggle Rock as a kid, I'm not sure. But I believe I was introduced to Space Ghost Coast to Coast by you, actually, I believe when we were in high school.
Really?
I believe in the context of, some VHS tape.
Probably. I have at least three VHS tapes of Space Ghost off-air episodes.
There are a couple of VHS tapes that I remember from my high school experience. One of them was a single night of... I believe it was a Toonami Giant Robot Week.
Yeah.
That was a thing. I believe it had the second episode of Big O on it.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Where the dude uses that robot with the claws that open up into tentacles, and then the tentacles go into a bank, and they take all the money.
Yep.
That
robot was also Dorothy, wasn't it?
No.
No?
No, it was the dude with the afro.
Oh.
The bad dude with the afro.
Okay. I haven't watched that show in a long time.
Yeah, so Space Ghost, to me, has always been something that has been associated with, like, you know, third-generation VHS copies and things like that. It just seems thematic for the show.
Yeah, like, we've been saying that, and I think I've been sort of pushing it, just like, not until this particular watch-through of the series have I noticed just how, like... Like, it's always been clear that, you know, sort of the feed getting interrupted for the commercial breaks, for the eye catches, but just this idea of, like completely noticeable feeds, like audio and video switching and signals from deep space, is just a prevalent theme. Like, it's actually in just about everything.
And there's a really pleasant graininess to, you know, because they're using all the still images taken from, you know, stock footage or whatever, and they'll pan them around and zoom in on them and stretch them out, and there's a really pleasant graininess on a lot of them that I enjoy a lot.
And keep in mind, this episode is from 1994, so that's before, like, flash animation. That's before Macromedia Shockwave.
Yeah.
So they are doing this, like, before the digital video editing era.
But yeah, I was never into, like, I never saw, I'm not a particularly old man, so I never saw, like, the original Space Ghost cartoon or anything like that, but I am really fond of this one, of Space Ghost Coast to Coast. I've got, I believe, the first season on DVD, and I've got an aunt who really liked it, if I recall. Showed it to her one time, she was really into it.
Cool. Yeah. It's strange where you will find fans of the show. Once they are aware of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange to find fans of this show. It's either just, like, somebody who knows about it and, like, is a big fan, or somebody who thought they saw it out of the corner of their eye once, and it was still really weird even at that.
Mm.
But yeah, so let's get into this episode in particular. We watched Bat Mantis.
Not featuring Bobcat Goldthwait.
No. But, so... First of all, like, we just started on the last couple of episodes getting into this. You weren't joining us for those, but...
I did not, no.
So this first season is really weird. It's really, like... How would you describe it? Like, it's not...
It's kind of like they're trying a lot of different things just to kind of find what works.
Well, it...
Exploratory.
Yeah.
Exploratory, but still, it's rigid. Like, they're just like, it's like we're trying to be or make fun of a talk show, so we have to have the openings, we have to do this. And it's only the last maybe two or three episodes that we've really started to see a subversion of the opening theme, which we didn't see in this episode until about 3 seconds before the end credits. You'll notice. And even then, didn't actually play it. It was just on Moltar's monitor.
There was no introduction. No one was played to the desk.
Yeah, like, well, this is the first episode where we didn't just get to it late. We didn't get to it at all.
Because we didn't actually get to see the show. It was all in Space Ghost's mind.
It was all a dream.
It all took space. It took place in the span of about, like, a minute or two.
Yeah, so listener at home, go now to TV Tropes and add this to It Was All Just a Dream page, because we ain't going to remember to do that. We're recording a podcast.
I was going to say, I'd like to change my answer. This is now my favorite episode.
Compared to Banjo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think we put enough emphasis on it as we needed to, but when we watched Banjo last, that really was like the first landmark moment, and Batmantis now, it was basically the second, like... Before these two episodes, nobody had a favorite episode of Space Ghost. Like, everything was just kind of weird. It was kind of, again, kind of stilted, kind of a lot of things, kind of didn't know what it was. And, like, even on these episodes, it didn't quite know what it was, but it did sort of have enough going on outside of just, like, randomish interviews.
Yeah.
That, like, these are the first episodes people liked and would say, these were my favorite or these I remember. They're kind of... We only have, after this, there's only two episodes left in the first season, and I'd say these are basically, like, the only memorable episodes of the first season.
Yeah, like, a lot of Coast to Coast kind of blurs together for me, but there's a few episodes that stick out. Like, of course you remember that. Some of them, not really because of their quality, but maybe just because of a phrase that appears in them. Saucer crab is a very memorable combination of words.
Yeah.
You know, weekly beating. But, you know, Banjo is, you know, one of those episodes that's, like, I think of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, then I think of Banjo.
Yep. Although, all right, so we really got to just actually right, talk about
yeah,
this
let's,
episode
let's
because,
dive into it.
Again, notable phrases, being a landmark. So the whole episode is Space Ghost, old Adam West era Space Ghost cast members, plus an overriding where Zorak transmogrifies into Batmantis, and we have, like, a Moltar is kidnapped plot.
So, yeah, Space Ghost is doing an interview with Adam West, mysteriously passes out, and comes to, the feed has been interrupted and Moltar has gone missing, and a ransom note is left behind by the mysterious villain, your mother.
Not my mother.
Not my mother.
My room was always clean.
This is actually one of my favorite, like, jokes to be done with wordplay jokes. Is just stating something as, like, your something, and then just that's the name of it, and it's not just the pronoun.
Well, yeah. I mean, and, like, you can feel it that, like, this was something in the writer room where they were like, well, we're doing a Batman episode, and so we need a villain. What do we call the villain? And somebody's like, I think your mom's a villain. And it's like, yeah. Your mom, your mother, the villain is your mother. Like, you can tell that's just how they got to it.
Mm. Yeah, and the episode, like, is kind of a Batman pastiche, like, and they make it for about 2 seconds that it's actually that before they just start making fun of the idea.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is one, you know, what do you even call them when they go to, like, you know, the solid frame of, like, explosion effect that says pow in it. What do you call that?
A callback to comic books is
what
you call
that. Yeah, I guess just like a comic book sound effect on screen.
Not since the Scott Pilgrim movie have...
Yeah, I think they do exactly one of those before it turns into, ooh, do a proper noun.
Well, yeah, basically. I will say, like, whenever your mother is on screen... And Space Ghost is talking to your mother, heavy Dutch angles. It was just very faithful to the original show.
Do we know what that was from? Where the footage of your mother comes from?
Hard to tell. Something that was in the Turner Vault. If you watch enough old movies from, like, Gone with the Wind onwards, there's probably something in there.
Yeah. Amazing dialogue, like amazing dialogue from your mother in there.
Oh yeah. What is
it? Eat your peas.
Eat your peas.
Your lollygagging kills your friend.
Mourn the frozen.
Mourn the frozen. Your mother might be one of the best Space Ghost characters. If nothing else, for those lines. Oh, there's a small moment that's under a voiceover while Zorak is transforming, where he says, "Don Messick."
Oh, I did not even notice that.
It's hard to tell because
who is Don Messick?
Don Messick is old Hanna-Barbera voice actor. He did a ton of voices. Like, I believe he was Barney.
Okay.
Basically, like, from the Flintstones, and as well as, like, 200 other things. I am not quite caught up on that. I'll get back to you on that. But, yeah, so there's a continuing theme in this show where a lot of times where they had to, before they were in Adult Swim era, when they needed to use an expletive, they would just use, like, a cast member's name.
Huh.
And that's something that they apparently really enjoyed doing. It was totally on purpose all the time.
I bet.
Had a butter and cheese callback?
Yeah.
You weren't around for that, but that was Spanish translation.
Right, okay.
One of the translated lines was, "I have to go to the store to get butter and cheese."
Yeah.
Now, I initially forgot that it was milk and cheese and not butter and cheese, and I thought it was a reference to milk and cheese, which I'm not even sure was a thing at the time that this was made. I'm not sure.
I'm not entirely sure on the timeline, but, like, it makes sense because Milk and Cheese is an Evan Dorkin comic, and Evan Dorkin comes in to write very soon.
Oh, really?
I know a lot of my favorite episodes are actually the Evan Dorkin, Sarah Dyer episodes, like $20.01, Lawsuit was a, with Dr. Nightmare, Attorney at Law.
Yeah.
Yes, those were all Evan Dorkin assisted scripts.
Gotcha.
All right, what else you guys got? Joe, what do you got?
After every time Batmantis says a line, it does the sting.
Yep.
And that was fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, he goes from, like, this episode makes a lot of assumptions very quickly and just kind of expects you to go along with them. Like, Zorak transforming into Batmantis and then suddenly becoming much more villainous.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. He's not barely a hero.
Yeah.
Especially when he's talking to...
I was going to say, like, he spends most of the episode just hanging out with Lee Merriweather. Yeah. So.
And as he says, "Well, for my money," and he says, "Give me your money." So he's probably very much still a villain.
Yeah.
Space
Ghost is convinced that Batmantis will help him rescue Moltar, though.
Yeah, I mean, he turned into Batmantis.
Yeah, clearly. A hideous super mutation.
Can we talk about the Muffin Man for, like, 10 minutes?
He had such a jaw.
Well,
he was kind of distressing. It was kind of difficult to look at.
The Muffin Man has haunted my nightmares.
You know, he reminds
me of... Since 1994.
Have you seen those things that make fun of, like, the Yowie drawing comics?
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the Dorito head dude. Oh, that's what he reminded me of first.
The creepy part is he has lips.
Yeah,
like
if he had lips and teeth.
Well, if he was a muffin with teeth, okay. But he has human lips on a muffin face. God. Like when like at some future point in my life, when I'm on a flight and there's some turbulence and I look behind me and I see the specter of death, it won't be a man in a black cowl with a skull. It'll be the Muffin Man from that one freeze frame. That will be what chases me into oblivion.
Well, I'm very sorry for you.
Yeah.
So, can we talk about Adam West on this episode?
Let's talk about Adam West.
Because he was definitely trying to play along, but also definitely seemed like he was questioning whether or not he made a good decision.
Yeah.
Almost immediately.
And he, like, explicitly, he is fully aware that he was not a good interview.
Mm.
Like, which you can tell because, so, pretty much episode one establishes that this show pays, like, no respect to any of the guests on it. Which, we're talking, like, original series Batman.
Yeah.
Crew. And, like, if anyone up to this point, what, Susan Powder, like, maybe should get respect? I don't know. Dr. Timothy Leary. Like,
dissident.
His superpower is he will flood your eyeballs and overload your earballs.
All right.
It's the best superpower in my humble opinion.
Mm.
No, my opinion is full of itself. But So that's the other reason why this is sort of a landmark. Like, there's a couple people that may have been heard of before. Like, the Jerky Boys had a movie. And they were on Space Ghost. Bobcat Goldthwait had not lit a couch on fire by this point, but Bobcat, he's got that voice.
Yeah, he's got that voice.
He played Moxie on the Moxie Pirate Radio Show. But, like, Batman cast. Like,
yeah.
Everyone... And that's part of why this is one of the first landmarks, because this was, like, the biggest names that they had on the show to date. And still, just, like, Adam West, look at him, give him a lot of dead air, don't give him time to plug his book.
Call him a wimp.
Call him a wimp, put it on screen. So... I don't know the backstory behind this. I'm not up to date on my Adam West lore, but the "see you at the car show" line just as they left, apparently that's some big burn.
Really?
Yeah, like, I don't know if it was, like, there was some debacle where he got, like, thrown out of a car show or something.
Punched a reporter at a car show?
It must be something like that, because apparently Adam West did not like anyone after that. Like, probably all the really quiet no responses came from after that point in the interview.
I liked how his book was just the sleeve.
Yeah.
That was strange.
Well, so, like, you're right. He was, like, sort of joking around, kind of trying to play along, kind of just being silly. And think, he went on to be on Family Guy as himself, dundering city town mayor, or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, Adam West is the mayor of the Family Guy town.
Oh.
Wherever, New Hampshire.
Adam West as Adam West.
Yes.
Literally Adam West.
Yes, literally the man who played Batman on the Batman TV show, Adam West. Yeah.
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, Bruce Wayne.
Batman.
Yeah.
If we want to blow his cover.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Now, if you want to talk about Val Kilmer, I don't know who Bruce Wayne is. That's not how that works. So we have Lea Merriweather and Eartha Kitt.
Yep.
And back to, you were talking about graininess over the whole show. Like, you're absolutely right. And, like, just the zoom ups close on Space Ghost.
Where really heavy in this episode.
But just how grainy they are. Like, that's not, like, DVD compression stuff. That is just how bad that piece of animation looked. And they blew it up so big anyway because they didn't care. Mm. Like, again, like, there was, like, a photocopied zine aspect to the creation of this show, and I think that's one place where it comes through. Two, just a lot of white noise over Eartha Kitt in the video. A lot of video noise on that. Like, heavier than anyone else. I don't know. That stuck out to me for some reason. But the real question...
Yep.
Tell me, everyone, who's your favorite Catwoman?
Eartha Kitt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really into comic books.
I'm thinking it's either Annie Puma or Una Puma.
God damn it.
Yeah, you like
that? I want to amend my answer.
Okay.
The plant Catwoman from that one Batman movie.
What?
All the women in Batman are Catwoman, right?
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't seem wrong to me.
So the plant one.
So Poison Catwoman?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, no, I really like that girl from Cat Planet Cuties. Does Ryo Oki count?
So, before we get completely off the rails, I had a question.
All right, go. You in the back.
Were there multiple voices of Moltar over the run of this show? Because he sounded different in this show than I remembered him. And I don't know if that's just because I was remembering poorly, or different recording situations, I don't know, or if there were different voices of Moltar.
It's always been the same actor.
Okay.
It's C. Martin Croker, who also is the voice of Zorak, who also did pretty much all of the animation for this show, including, like, all of the new Batman's animation. That is, like, the first...
I was going to bring that up.
Except for the can of diddly squat earlier in the season, like the first or second episode, this is like the first batch of new animation was everything Batmantis. But there's definitely a shift in like Moltar's line delivery over the course of the show. Like, it's still very, very forced in this. So that's the thing. Like, again, the last three episodes, just when we've been subverting the intro, is also when we started to be getting, like, more muttering under your breath, things that were, like, probably taken from the record that were off script or something like that. A lot more of the sort of like casualness of the show, but compare that to you know, when they were at the Vatican, so they were still very much doing the very dictated superhero tone of voice.
Not yet into full-on Tallboy madness.
Not for like another 8 years.
No,
we'll have you back on the show then.
I look forward to it.
I think it's about time that we look at our guest superpowers for the week.
I think Adam West is the only one who has asked slash answered that question.
You could say that like everyone does have a certain sense of power since all these people were featured on. I mean, Catwoman has had like heroic turns in Batman points in Batman sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's not villainous.
No.
Okay. But so like
she's like chaotic neutral.
But so I think in this case, since everyone like was superheroes that you may have heard of at some point, like we can make assumptions about the powers of Catwoman.
Now, Adam West said specifically in this episode that he has no powers.
He said he's just a little obsessive over
about fighting,
just crime. A little crazy and obsessed with fighting crime.
So, obsession with crime fighting, how does that rate it as a superpower?
I mean, it kind of seems to be the baseline.
What about, like, One Punch Man? He basically was just a hobbyist superhero, so...
Yeah, but he has other superpowers that make him decent.
That's true. He did jump to the moon one time.
He did, like, what was it? 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, and 5 kilometers running every day?
Every day, yep. That comic's so good.
Yeah.
But so the other thing is, Eartha Kitt described it as, you know, he has that attitude of he's a non-know-nothing character.
And shallow.
So being a shell of a persona, how does that rate as a superpower?
To being a husk of a man.
To being not just a person with an obsession for fighting crime, but being... an obsession with fighting crime personified.
Ooh.
He's got sort of a specter thing going for him, like ghosts are spooky.
Yeah, but like, are we talking about Batman at this point, or are we talking about like the Spirit or that dude that wore like a sock over his head that Rorschach was based on?
I mean, just because the idea might not be original doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad idea.
No, I'm just saying. I feel like we're getting bleed.
Okay. So maybe it's a little overplayed?
Maybe.
Or maybe... I mean, having gadgets is probably the better one. Like if you just give Batman's utility belt to somebody else...
His superpower is that he's rich.
Yeah.
Being rich. How's that superpower?
That's pretty great.
It's pretty good.
I mean, if we want to talk about... Are we talking about Adam West's superpowers, or are we talking about Batman's superpowers?
I mean, Adam West is Batman, who is Bruce Wayne.
That's true.
Who is a man with an old man nanny.
Now, if we want to talk about the superpowers of the guests on this show, I think that Eartha Kitt demonstrated pretty much the most powerful powers.
She's got that growl.
She's entirely feline.
Yeah.
Her whole attitude is amazing.
I mean, out of everything we've seen, Eartha Kitt probably has the best superpower.
Yeah.
Of being feline all the time.
Wow. Please don't do that.
you gotta try. What about Lee Merriweather?
She was a pretty good Catwoman, too.
What about your mother? She has a freeze lever?
She does have a freeze lever. She has a...
Is that a power, though? That's not a power.
What did she call that, the freezer that she put Moltar in? It was like a cryogenic vaporizing shelf or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
She's very eloquent.
She is.
So perhaps just a diesel word selections is her superpower?
Mm, she's not even very, diesel, just... very commanding presence.
Mm. Yeah. She also, she has an aura that enforces Dutch angles.
That's true.
I wish I had that. I will say that.
A very dramatic presence.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
And like, she either has the ability or, like, the henchmen to, you know, kidnap one of Space Ghost cohorts right under his nose.
honestly, there's very easy ways to lure Moltar away.
That's true.
Sometimes he just sneaks out to smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't see that yet. We'll get there.
Okay.
Actually, oh man, I never even put that together, except there's an episode in the way, so it doesn't work.
What's that?
In exactly 2 episodes from now, Moltar has a cold.
Oh.
So if he was stolen and put into a deep freeze chamber, he'd probably come back with at least a cold.
Now, Nick, can the events of this episode really have an effect on the continuity of the show? Because it was all a dream!
You know, that's true.
Okay.
Okay. I believe that brings us to the end of this episode. What do you got?
Was it at the end when he wakes up and he doesn't know where he is and the show is about to start, and then he goes, "Let's have a bake sale."
Yeah.
And then they have a bake sale under the credits.
Yeah. So another dope line. What's in these later ladyfingers, Moltar?
Ladyfingers.
A landmark episode.
Also the Fig Newtons. You did bake these.
Yeah. And that's where the show ends. And where the show ends, so does this episode. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you again next week when we will watch another episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast and complete another orbit around the ghost planet.
You have been listening to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an Aliku Studios podcast network production. You can visit the show page at alikustudios.net/podcast/ghostplanet. There you can find the rest of our episodes, the RSS feed for the show, and links to our Facebook page where you can talk about this and all the other Aliku Studios shows. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, you can help us by leaving a quick review and rating. Please visit alikustudios.net to learn more about us and what we do. That's OLEETKU.